Scripture this morning is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, page 694 in the Pew Bible. The Fellowship of Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Thanks. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Kids are invited to children's church. Let's pray. Mighty God, thank you for your Spirit's presence among us this morning. For the deeply significant acts which we remember and enter into today and throughout this week. As we immerse ourselves in the journey to the cross and to the tomb that your Son Jesus took out of deep love for us, for the whole world, for all creation. And as we come to your word together now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, today is the conclusion of our Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series. And developing a rule of life is not specifically a Palm Sunday-themed sermon. Everything to this point has been very Palm Passion Sunday-themed. And of course, it all is related. The reason we're all here, the reason we even think to develop a rule of life or to try to order our lives according to the way of Jesus is because of the events of Holy Week, because everything changed. But specifically, not so much a Palm Sunday sermon today. So I apologize if you were all geared up for that. So this emotionally healthy spirituality journey has been, this is the eighth week of it, so it's been a fairly long journey for us. And we've tackled a lot of big topics and big subjects that kind of beg to be inserted into our lives somehow. Our lives need to be shaped in order to include some of these practices. So we've talked about things like knowing yourself. We've talked about things like examining our past and our family histories and how that impacts how we are now, how we respond to things, our gut responses to situations. We've talked about the importance of having daily rhythms, daily office, and weekly rhythms of Sabbath keeping. And these things kind of feed directly into developing a specific rule of life. And also this past summer, at the end of our Faithful Presence series, I had you guys actually fill out a chart with a rule of life. And I don't know if anybody has one. Does anybody have one? That you've, yeah. No. Okay. this you've been faithfully living out since August when we did it the first time. Little less formal this time. I'm going to let you create whatever you want to create. But I do want to lay out some components of a rule of life. And what is a rule of life? So rule sounds scary. Who loves rules here? Some of you love rules because you follow them or because you like to make them. I don't know. Sometimes the people who like to make rules don't like to follow them so much. I don't know if you've found that to be true. But rule, when we think about a rule of life in the Christian tradition, it comes from the Greek word, which actually, I should have put a picture up, but it comes from the Greek word for trellis. You guys know what a trellis is? Anybody grow grapes here? What happens if you grow grapes without something for it to climb on? Where does it grow? Grows along the ground, right? And not very well, right? You're not gonna want to plant grapevines and just have them grow along the ground. I mean, you may luck out and have a good harvest, but generally you want them to grow up something, a trellis of something. So a rule of life is intended to be something that takes our spiritual life and helps it to grow upward, to strengthen our lives, right? It is like a structure for our faith to grow upon. The rule of life is not our faith itself, right? Just like the trellis is not the grapevine. But you need the trellis for the grapevine to flourish. So this is the trellis of our lives, the thing that we need in order to flourish spiritually. This is the way we live our lives consistently. And everybody has a rule of life, whether you try to or not, because we have a rhythm to our days. Mostly. Now, some of you, I mean, maybe your rule of life is whatever. Don't set an alarm. Don't have a calendar. Don't do anything. But for most people, you get up around the same time. You go to bed around the same time. You do some of the same things on certain days. You have a rhythm. You go to church on Sunday. You go to church on Wednesday. You go to your hair appointment on whatever day. You go work out on this day, right? This is the rule of our lives. This is the skeleton upon which our life is built. Okay, enough on that. Acts 2 shows us the rule of life shared by at least one of the churches, the early churches that first formed after Christ's resurrection. So we have this description of this early church with a lot of detail of how they lived, how they conducted themselves. And these are practices that were built in. There's phrases like daily. Well, the word daily is mentioned several times. And devoted themselves. These were regular practices. These are the things that they built their lives around. And I think we can learn from the way the first church, successful churches, built their lives. We don't always want to build our lives around the way the early church did things because they actually got themselves into some serious trouble at different points. But in this particular setting, the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. So I read that and I think, well, they must have been doing something right. Do we agree with that? The fruit tells us that they were doing something right. and before I forget to mention it, the prayer calendar that you all received in your bulletin today is a piece that you can incorporate into your, say, rule of life or your daily reading throughout this week. It is specifically been created based on the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series to dig in deeper onto each of the, 7 of the 8 weeks. The first week was about the problems. We didn't dig into the problems, but no, actually it is. It has all 8. Yeah, never mind. All 8. Eight weeks, 8 themes of emotionally healthy spirituality. There's a reading, a suggested Bible reading. There's a question and a reflection for each day. And I urge you to use that this week. It was put together by our friend Renee DeGraff, who prepares our PowerPoints. And she sees all these PowerPoint slides and was like, oh, there's a lot of good stuff in here. Maybe we could turn this into a daily devotion. And she did it, and I read it, and I was like, wow, Wow, fantastic, beautiful. Let's print it in color. That's how good it is. Let's print it in color. So, as you're looking to dig deeper and looking to build a rule of life, I submit that to you. But moving on to Acts 2. Components of a rule of life that we see in Acts 2. The first thing, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, so that's the thing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were together. And who are the apostles? Peter, James, John, basically the disciples. And then later, the apostle Paul, the first followers of Jesus, who spent time with Jesus and knew his message and knew him. They were devoted to that teaching. So the apostles' teaching is important, and we have much of the apostles' teaching, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the letters of Paul. What we have in our scriptures is what we call the apostles' teaching today. So studying scripture is integral to our rule of life, to our daily practice and life together. And to fellowship. Fellowship. And then later on, in this chapter, we get more different words for fellowship. We get the word together. We get these people having everything in common, and we have that they were daily meeting together. These people took serious their fellowship. Now, do we have to get together as a church every single day? We probably wouldn't have time for anything else if we tried to pull that off. But weekly fellowship, twice a week fellowship, however often we can get it, fellowship. Fellowship where you get together with just one other person from church and have coffee, right? That is fellowship. We're talking about being together in some capacity to encourage one another, to share everything in common together, to be together. This is essential to our rule of life. So don't think that a rule of life is about just me and doing my own thing, right? These are very shared things. We need one another as we put together a rule of life. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Gotta eat. The spirituality of sharing a meal together is so important. We think about, well, you gotta eat. Food is fuel. I've never said that in my life. I know somebody who says that. It's just fuel. I'm like, oh, have you tasted food before? Food is life. Food is not just fuel. Come on. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Some people eat to live, some people live to eat, right? You've heard that? Yeah. But there is something truly formational about breaking bread, and not just alone, but together in fellowship, right? There's something about it. And the breaking of bread extends, right? It's when we share meals together on a Wednesday night or after church here. It may not be a full, like, five-course meal, but sometimes it feels like it is. But snacks together, coffee together, right? These are breaking bread together. But also, of course, when we gather together and we share the Lord's Supper together, when we break bread together, it is significant. It is formative. It's formational for our lives. All right, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and to prayer. We get four elements right in that first verse, Acts 2:42. Prayer, praising God. Prayer has to be alive and an important piece of our lives for us to be growing, maturing Christians, for us to become more emotionally healthy. We need to be in contact, connected to God. We need to be spending the time necessary in prayer and also praising God. How many people feel like sometimes the things of this world weigh you down and you just feel heavy? Anybody ever felt that way? You start to get discouraged. It can become so heavy that we start to lose our faith, right? We start to lose the joy of the Lord that the Bible talks about. This is why it's so important to praise God. Even if you can't think of anything to praise him for, just try. Do your best. And I bet you can come up with something if you try hard enough. You can come up with something to praise God for. But sometimes we really need to be lifted up out of just the negativity that weighs us down. We really do. Praise God. So important. Verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They were filled with awe. If you can figure out a way to build into your life, your life rhythm, a way to regularly be filled with awe, do it. Now, I can't come up with a great way for you to do that. Some of you just need, you know, like, I need to go for a walk in the woods and I'm filled with awe and wonder at God's creation, right? Or I need to go see a lake, right? For some of you, it's a very creation-based thing. I am just in awe of God's creation. If I go see the mountains, right? No, that's a greater investment of time and energy and finances because, you know, we don't have all that many mountains here in the great state of Michigan. We got a lot of everything else, though. A lot of water, a lot of sand, a lot of beautiful, beautiful topography here in our state. But if we go to be in awe, I mean, we can be in awe of a person. You can be in awe of a piece of art. You can be, there's a lot of things to be in awe of. In this situation, it was the signs and wonders performed by the apostles. We can be in awe of the things that God does in people's lives. So when we see God at work performing miracles, like changing people's lives, to be in awe, oh my gosh, I cannot believe. I thought that was a lost cause. I thought that person was a lost cause. I thought that situation was over. I thought that person was done. I thought for sure we were going to be having another funeral. And guess what? Life happened. Something happened. Grace, mercy, salvation, miracle happened. And it puts me in awe. So we can't always predict awe. Right? And we can't force it, but we can place ourselves in situations where we are open to it. And when our minds and our hearts are open to being floored by God, then maybe we'll start to see a little more often when he does those sort of things. Another thing that these people did regularly was they sold their possessions, their property, and their possessions to give to anyone who had need. They sold not just their possessions, but their property to give to anyone who had need. That's pretty powerful. That's a bold act of faith. What a life-giving sign of generosity. Sold to give to anyone who had need. And then this isn't really part of the rule of life. This isn't part of the discipline, but this is the fruit. They enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. Would you say that, as a general rule, evangelical Christians right now enjoy the favor of all the people? Anybody? Crickets, right? Okay, so a lot of people hate evangelical Christians right now, right? We'll just say that. Some fair, some not all that fair. If we lived like this consistently, with great regularity, if our lives looked like this, there wouldn't be much to hate. Would there? There wouldn't be. That doesn't mean people wouldn't still hate us, because, you know, some people just have an axe to grind, of course. But not everybody. But they enjoyed the favor of all the people. I think it's a testament to how, I mean, and then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. More people wanted to be part of this community. More people wanted to check it out. More people were just compelled. I want to be part of this family. You guys care for one another? You sell property and possessions in order to make sure nobody has need, right? Of course, then you could have some bad motives of getting involved for that sort of stuff, but if we're doing that sort of thing, if we're really caring and loving, breaking bread together, having fellowship, caring for those who have need among us, living in fellowship, prayer, devoted to the apostles' teaching, we'd be amazed at what we might experience. So this is the shared rule of life for the early church. Now, I'm sure there was more to it, but these are things that they were doing regularly. Submitting themselves to teaching, fellowship daily, breaking of bread regularly, prayer and praise daily, awe at signs and wonders whenever they saw them, selling to give to anyone in need whenever the need came up, and enjoying the favor of all people. Now I'm going to add to this list some additional things for a personal rule of life that have come up from our Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series. Just some things to consider incorporating into our own journeys. And one of those is silence and solitude. Everything in the Acts 2 is very relational, and rightly so. But sometimes, for us to connect with God, we need to experience silence and solitude. Some of us are prone to being codependent on other people for our faith or for whatever. And therefore, we don't want to be alone. We don't want to be in solitude. Silence and solitude may be hard, but they are essential components of really getting in touch with God in a real personal way. And they're not the same thing. Silence is, what is silence? Quiet, right? It's not making noise. It's not hearing noise. Now, if you can find a spot where you can't hear any noise, you have a quieter house than I do, but it is about slowing down, being still, and being silent. Solitude is about being alone, which is not the exact same thing, right? Solitude is going out, separating from whatever. I just need some peace and quiet, right? I need some solitude. You can call it peace and quiet if you want, if you prefer, if you don't like the word solitude. But either way, it's intentionally getting away and being quiet in order to be with God. And some people have a harder time with solitude. Some people have a hard time with silence. Some people have a hard time with both. Give it a try. Daily office. This can overlap with a lot of the things that we already talked about in Acts 2. This can overlap with prayer and praise. This can overlap with listening to the apostles' teaching, right? These are components to a daily office. But doing it daily or several times a day can be very important. Personal study. Well, for some people, you're always studying because you just love books or you love to read, you love to learn. Some people haven't read a book since high school or college or whatever just because, I don't know, books are over. Nobody assigned you anything except your pastor and it's just suggestions from him anyway, right? But personal study is an important thing. In order for us to grow, sometimes we do have to do a little reading, a little digging, or listening, right? Sometimes it's listening to lectures or listening to people talk, teachers, if you're not really good at focusing on books. But studying in some capacity can be really important. Simplicity. Life is messy and complicated, right? Sometimes some of those things we have no control over, but some of those things we do, right? There could be simpler ways of doing some of the things that we do. We could have simpler spaces. We could have less cluttered spaces. We could have less cluttered lives, less cluttered calendars, if we're really intentional about it, if we're willing to say no every once in a while to things that are maybe we should say no to, but we never say no, so we don't. But simplicity is important. Sometimes we have to say no to something that's good in order to experience something that's great. I think I just quoted Jim Collins, but I've never even read Good to Great, but it's quoted in every book I read, so and play. Simplifying and play. I don't want it to sound like a rule of life is just a bunch of rules to follow. Remember, it's a trellis. It is a skeleton on which to build a growing spiritual life. And an important component of that is fun and play and enjoying God's creation and enjoying the gifts of other people and enjoying the gifts that silliness, right? I mean, I get to experience silliness all the time because I have little silly kids, but you don't want to lose that. You don't ever want to lose that entirely. You may become less silly, but play, silliness, joy, just enjoying things is so important. We don't want to become so serious that we lose the plot of why we're following God in the first place. Caring for your physical body. It can be an important thing for your rule of life. I know, I've heard from some of you, from your mouths, words like, oh, I wish I had taken care of myself a little bit better when I was younger. I've heard these words. And I am younger, so I'm trying. Trying to heed that advice. Because it doesn't get any easier, does it? To take care of your physical body. And that's not necessarily about, you know, appearances or weight or whatever. This is just about caring. Paying attention to what we put into our bodies, paying attention to sleep patterns so that we're not unhealthy, so that we're not just, so that we're living life on purpose, including, you know, because this is the only body that we get to live this life in, right? And you don't have choices sometimes about how it responds to you. But insofar as we can care for it, it is, it's so much more rewarding, and you're so much more able to experience the joys of other areas of life when your body is not constantly in pain, right? And again, we don't always have control over how our body responds and, you know, illnesses and sicknesses, but again, insofar as it depends on us, caring for it and investing in our emotional health. Again, this whole series has been emotionally healthy spirituality. If there's things that you realized throughout this series that, like, I really need to dig into my family history and think about some of these things, or how I am just like my father or just like my mother. I need to dig into that and why, and really, maybe you need to. Maybe you need to do that with a counselor. Maybe you need to really dig into some of these areas of emotional health in a more intense way. Or maybe I just need to take up the practice of journaling, writing down stories of my past, or just writing. One of our Sunday school classes, we started out with just, I had people write down emotion words, anger, fear, sadness, and just pick one and write about it. Are you experiencing sadness? Because how many of us write it down or really acknowledge it when we're experiencing what we would call a negative emotion? Sometimes the first step is just acknowledging it. But invest in it. Do what you need to do for your emotional health. So now I want to give a little time for our rules of life. These are the components from what we just talked about. Silence and solitude, daily office, personal study, simplicity and play, care for body, investing in emotional health. And then from Acts 2, teaching, being together in fellowship, eating together, prayer and praise, awe and wonder, generosity, and bearing fruit. Just take a few minutes, maybe on the back of your bulletin or wherever, and think about where these things fit into your life. Some of them you may be able to check right now because you already do them. Right? You're already doing so many of these things, and you're doing them pretty well, and you're satisfied with how that's going. But some of those things may, not so sure about that one. Just take a few minutes. Again, I'll stop talking and give you some silence and solitude. No, not solitude. You got to stay in here with us. And if you have a question about where something fits, just put a question mark next to it and think, oh, okay, I need to figure out where to incorporate that. I might need to rearrange some things in my schedule to fit that in. But a couple minutes. And this is just for you. You're not going to have to turn in any homework to Pastor Andrew here. Somewhat famously, the Greek language has a couple different words for time, kairos and chronos, right? Chronology, we've heard of that word in English, right? Chronology is the numbering of our days. Chronos, time, is the number of our days, which we have no control over, right? We don't have control over the number of our days. We can influence it for good or worse, but we don't control our chronology. Kairos is the quality of time that we experience, which we have a little bit more control over. The way we choose to spend the time that we have, right, which we all get the same amount, 24 hours a day. Nobody gets a special dispensation unless it's like, you know, daylight savings fluke, but then you lose it again 3 months later, right? So, yeah, 6 months, you're right. Thanks, Anson. we only change them twice a year, not four times. So a rule of life is a way to live intentionally into the kairos time that God has given us. Again, this is not to give us an illusion that we're in control somehow. But we want to be intentional with the gifts God's given us. The human resources that we've been given, the families, the bodies that we've been given, the friendships that we've been given, the situations we've been given, the physical things that we've been given, possessions we've been given. We want to be intentional with how we handle every bit of it. And that's what God's inviting us into today. And Jesus was intentional about every moment he lived. He had 3 years of ministry. It's hard to imagine that in only 3 years he accomplished all that he did. He filled up the entire New Testament in 3 years of life, lived with intention, lived with unwavering commitment to his Father's will right up until his death. So today, to honor Jesus, we think about how to honor him with every day from here on out. Let's pray. Gracious God, you are mighty and powerful. And you are gracious and compassionate. May we, as your daughters and sons, live more fully into the life that you've called us to. From this day forward. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.